What up, guys? Welcome to the Be Made or Be Molded series. I got Dean Romero and our special guest, Charlene Chow.
Got it right? You got it.
Yes.
You got it right.
In this series that we have right here, we're going to be talking about numerous things when it comes to motivation, fitness, lifestyle, everything whatsoever within the self-made familia. Everybody has a story, and we're just here to showcase it, because you can learn so much from every single story that is out there. So today we have Charlene that's gonna be sharing her story, sharing her obstacles. So this one is focused on overcoming obstacles. None of those obstacles on waking up late or I ate a donut when I wasn't supposed to. Real life obstacles. Dean?
Yeah, we wanna talk about basically everybody that has something to do with self-made, because this company is built on so many people and so many different foundations, and there's so much to be learned from so many of the people that are within our day-to-day that we get to meet, we get to see, we get to interact with, but we don't really see their story. Charlene, the reason that we picked her, well, I mean, I'm biased, obviously, because, you know, it's my wife, but we picked her because she's always in the background. She's behind the scenes. There's nothing that goes on in this company that she doesn't know about. She doesn't have some hand in or some part in. She takes care of the entire back end of this company. But, you know, her story is something that if you've never heard it or you don't know what it is, it's something that usually moves people, brings them to tears, and, you know, really captures, you know, the real genuine passion of the human spirit when it comes to the one thing we all have in common, and that's just that we're all trying to survive. We're all just trying to live and get by and get to another day, basically. So we want to go into that. As we go further into other series, we're going to be talking to other people about their stories and how they relate to so many of the other aspects that he was just talking about. So yeah, if you guys have any questions that you want to ask Charlene about overcoming obstacles, we're talking primarily about breast cancer here as the main obstacle, but let us know. We're going live. We're live right now on Instagram. So if anybody has any questions, let us know.
When did you find out about breast cancer?
Long story short, I had found the lump and I had gone to see a doctor. They told me, oh, don't worry about it. It's not breast cancer. You're young. You're athletic.
No way.
It's a benign tumor. And I was probably around 28, 29 years old when I first saw it. And then they were like, oh, just come back, we'll monitor it. And I went back for another checkup. The lump had grown by then. And then they were like, oh, I still don't think it's cancer.
That's crazy.
But we're going to get another, I think you should get another opinion. And at this time, by that time, I was like, I'm just going to go see another doctor. And then, so by that time, I was 31, 32, and I'd gone to see another doctor. He said, no, I don't think it's fibroadenoma, but we won't know unless we biopsy it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, just whatever it is, I don't want it in me, take it out. And so they did the surgery, they took it out, and he biopsied it from there, and that's when he told me it was cancer.
Yeah. So you had cancer like...
For a couple years. Yeah, I was in there for a couple years.
That's crazy.
Yes.
So you had to go into surgery, they got it out. After that,
yeah,
that's when they started the treatment.
Well, yeah, they... I went through some screenings just to kind of see where the cancer was, and by the time that I went through all the tests and screening, we had seen that the cancer had spread to my lungs, my liver, my every like bone in my spine, pretty much.
That's crazy.
My pelvis, like everywhere. It was just everywhere. And so they were like, we've got to get you straight to chemotherapy. And they put me in some very intensive chemotherapy, like right off
the bat. Right off the bat.
Yeah.
So your life before finding out, because you had, since you said you had it for so many years, your life before finding breast cancer from when you found out, how drastic did it change?
You know, I was working. I was a personal trainer, and you know, just on the daily grind, doing the hustle,
yeah.
You know, trying to make a living. And I mean, I really didn't think much of it before. I thought, you know, here I'm living a perfectly normal life. You know, I stress about all the daily things, like how am I going to pay for this bill, and I've got my car payment,
yeah.
And I have to pay rent, like all that kind of stuff. You know. Came up, and after I was diagnosed, then, you know, it just makes you look at everything, like everything
different.
Completely different. You know, I don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah, bills have to be paid, but there's no reason in stressing about it the way that I used to. I know like stress isn't good for your body. So I knew like then that I had to let go of some of that, those emotions and those feelings. Of course, I had Dean there and he helped me through everything. And so, you know, you have to have, I surrounded myself with the right people, and I used Dean to make sure he filtered those people didn't let the negative ones get to me. And it was the only way that I could stay positive through the whole thing, through the treatments. And then after I came out of it, like I said, we look at everything
so different now.
We definitely don't take anything for granted.
And then, see, like for me, like I feel like in our life we have rocks, right? Like there's certain things that, I don't know if you guys ever heard of like that jar philosophy. Like they have jar, you have rocks, and you have sand, and you have wine. I don't know if you guys heard of that. But so pretty much the rocks mean things that you can't live without, right? Mm-hmm. So like your family, you know, your passions, stuff like that. So for me, in my life, like there's rocks that I just can't leave. Like if something bad happens to me and I have to lose one of those rocks, like to me, I don't know what I'll do. Because those rocks like hold my foundation. Was there any rocks that you had in your life that you had to let go? Or do you have any rocks that helped you so much to get by to those like tough times?
I didn't have anything that I guess I had to let go. Mm-hmm. I definitely, the rocks in my life were my support system, my family, my close friends, you know, everybody out there far and near that didn't even know me, that that heard of my story, that prayed for me and donated and helped, you know, keep us running during that tough time. It was a support system, you know, and having that.
And would you say that fitness played a role like in what you were going through?
Well, part of the support system that I had was from my fitness family. Like UJAM, I don't know, you know, UJAM and UFC Gym, like, were a few. Like, they put on some fundraisers for me.
That's awesome.
And Dean, when they found out about my story. And they spread my story out past, you know, the facilities. I mean, my story with UJAM spread, like, nationwide.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, people were donating and sending me letters and just cards of hope. And so that part of that, I wouldn't have had that support without my fitness family.
Awesome. For me, like personally, when I went through like what I went through, I guess you could say I had like mild depression when I came out of high school, and like my story, and fitness for me was like the people in fitness, me just going to the gym, like clearing my head, and like I felt like fitness was kind of like that one thing that it's like you enter like a different universe where nothing matters except just your time there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I asked, because I'm like, I wonder if like when you would work out, it would just be like, you would just forget about everything, you know?
Well, at the time when I was going through chemotherapy, I was stage 4, so there was no working out.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't able to, I mean, I could barely sit up on my own. Dean had to like lift me up and carry me, and I couldn't even go to the bathroom by myself.
Oh,
so
that's crazy. Okay.
So fitness, I mean, at that time, I couldn't work out.
I couldn't do
anything as much as I wanted to. My body was just not strong enough to.
Okay.
I sneezed and I broke a rib. So
That's
so
crazy.
My bones are so brittle, and there was just no way that doctor would allow me to do it. Yeah. So it took a little while of, you know, after I finished 9 cycles of chemotherapy, which took about 7 months, I believe.
When you say a cycle, what is that? Like, what is a cycle?
One typical treatment of chemotherapy, and I was getting more than one treatment during each cycle. It's 3 treatments every 3 weeks.
Okay.
So
in the beginning,
in the beginning was
once a week.
I was going
sometimes
once a week.
Twice. Mm-hmm. That was for like the first 6 months, and then when they switched treatment, it was every 3 weeks we would go in. And then you have to go in for a follow-up day a couple of days later. So we pretty much lived at the hospital.
So 9
That's
cycles
crazy.
Isn't 9 treatments. 9 cycles,
was like
it was a lot of treatments. You know, I went through the whole thing. Lost the fingernails, the toenails. I have numbness in my fingertips. I couldn't taste anything. Lost the hair, eyelashes, eyebrows. Everything was gone.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was the full shebang of,
chemotherapy.
And like I said, I wasn't getting just one chemo medication. They were giving me like multiple chemotherapies like at the same time.
And why was that? Because of the fact that it spread
because it was just everywhere. Yeah. And so
what were the chances of it being eliminated from like when you first like found out about it?
Well, stage four statistically, I don't
know. It's a 20% survival rate.
20% survival. 20%. Yeah.
Yeah, we've known a few people that had stage four that were about her age that have since died.
That's crazy.
And it was about the same time.
I've known people that were diagnosed in or around the same time as I was diagnosed, also went through chemotherapy. They either came out of the chemotherapy okay, but then relapsed and didn't make it the second time. So, you know, it is a very, very slim chance of surviving stage four.
And then relapse means like you got it
you
off
got
of
it back
you.
It comes again.
Back.
Got it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So like for me right now, even though I'm considered in remission, I still have to continue treatments every 3 weeks.
Remission is what?
Cancer-free.
Where
basically,
it's like
the
dormant.
Cancer is dormant.
Okay.
It's not active in my body, in my system right now. But I have to keep going for ongoing antibody infusions every 3 weeks to prevent the cancer from coming back, basically, to have my body continue to fight and make sure it's not, it doesn't come back.
That's
Which,
crazy.
Even about, like, a was it a year ago?
Yeah.
A year ago, she had tumors in her brain, actually.
It showed up in my brain. So as aggressive as my cancer was, you know, unfortunately, the treatments don't treat the brain. So the treatments don't go up and treat the brain.
Yeah.
So my body still was trying to find other places for it to go, and it managed to get up here in my brain. So I had a tumor here, and I had to undergo treatment for that. So
that's crazy.
Went through treatment for that, and that one's gone now, and I've been going through testing, and it hasn't come back. So, yeah,
That's great. Yeah. Well, shit.
What I think would be interesting for you to elaborate on that always has it's interesting because I mean, over the years, I tell people all the time about the first time that we found out when your mom was there and when we were sitting in the hospital room and like that it was stage four. Mm-hmm. And when we found out that it was in your brain.
Yeah.
There's something because I always tell people, I say, you know, I don't know. I know that her reaction and what I've seen, but I can't quantify whether like what that was like, because most people would break down. Most people and people that we know that have had breast cancer or whatever, even just the thought of it brings them like crashing down.
So you didn't like when you found out it was one of those things where you just like.
So. Of course, it was unexpected. You know, it was unexpected, but my reaction wasn't the typical one, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, the doctor came in and she told us, all of us were sitting in the room, and she's like, you know, your cancer's spread, and you are in what we call stage four, and we've got to get you straight to chemotherapy. Like, initially, I was supposed to undergo a mastectomy, do chemo, and then radiation, stuff like that. But because they'd seen that it spread, I had to bypass all that. And she told me we had to get you straight to chemotherapy. And that's exactly how she said it. And I sat there, my mom instantly broke down.
Yeah.
And my reaction was like, okay, what's next? So what do I do? What do I have to do to get rid of this? And that was it. She's like, I'll put you in touch with a great oncologist and we'll get you started right away. And
the interesting thing is the way she said it right now is quite literally how
she
said it in the hospital room.
That's crazy.
And that day, it totally like, I was fucked up.
Yeah.
I was like,
dude,
and
if I didn't even know who you were out and I was in the room, I would have been like, dude, like that even would have got me. You know, that's crazy to even, and the fact that you knew like the chances and all that stuff, that's like mentally how strong you need to be to even.
Yeah.
You know,
there was so much emotion in the room between my mom breaking down, and I knew that there was just no point in stressing over it. It was, okay, tell me what I got to do.
Yeah.
It's either going to work or it's not, but I'm going to do my damn best and hardest to
see what
it is.
Almost
I'm not
definitely.
Ready for this to be over, and I'm going to, I know there are people that want me here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
And
that's
do what
amazing,
I need to
though.
Do.
You know, the interesting thing is, you know, we had been not together for a short period of time, and we actually had been doing like the long distance relationship thing.
Yeah.
She was in San Francisco and I was down here in California, and we had just finished like talking a few months before. We agreed like she was gonna move back, you know, whatever. It was on the day that I went to pick her up and bring her back home that we found out. And so she had just moved in with me, and
oh wow,
it was like the most interesting like thing just because it was like I had no idea what was gonna happen. And you know, her being so like, I don't even want to say nonchalant, but for it to not phase her the way it did was, it was unreal.
That's awesome with, on your side as well, the fact that you went through all that together. My girlfriend, like when we talk, I tell her, I was like, anything you go through is like, we're going to go through it together. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that is true love. And that's awesome that you guys showcase it, because then it shows people like, that's what true love is. No matter what happens, whether, you know, you have something small, you have, you know, stage 4 cancer, us against the world.
It's not
so
just my battle. I mean, he had to go through it too.
That's what I'm saying. I could just imagine, you know, going through all the treatments, and then the fact that you're so open about it, that's beautiful too. Because a lot of people would just keep all that in and just be like, look, I just don't want to talk about it. I want to forget about that. But the fact that you're showcasing it, that's amazing. Because somebody could be watching right now that's not showcasing it, you know, or feel something and doesn't want to go in. And that's what's scary too, is like people that are just too afraid of finding out and think that there's no hope, and they're like, dude, I don't wanna feel like it might, nah, it's nothing, and then it might be too late. That's what's great about this, is that whether we reach a million people or we reach one person, if that one person is that person that we're trying to reach, it makes a difference. So it's awesome that the fact that you guys showcase it so much. Do you have any plans?
You know, being that I still have to undergo treatment every 3 weeks, there are things that I am limited to. Like I can't travel the world or, you know, do any of that kind of stuff. I do have to stay. I can't take flights longer than 5 hours because I'm prone to blood clots, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm happy with, you know, just living my life every day, like just being here and going about the daily thing and being a part of like the self-made movement and, you know, raising two beautiful kids and stuff like that. So I go about the day to day. I don't want to sound like I don't have goals, but at the same time, I don't, like I said, I live today like it's the last day, it's the best day. And tomorrow we'll live another great day, you know, and it's, I don't stress over the little things. I won't allow myself to stress over little things.
One of the things that I always tell people about her, she has this remarkable ability to live in the moment that most people never do. You know, most people live 10 years from now, five years, the constant stress, the worry, you know, whatever. And I think, you know, because her doctors even still are always like, how the hell, you know, are you so good? Are you so healthy? Are you so happy? Like every time I see you, you're happy, you're smiling, you know, whatever it is. Like, do you have a special like relationship with God? Like what is the situation? Like, how do you keep living? And, you know, for her, I think that's one of the biggest parts of it, that people, the reason they can't wrap their head around it is the same reason that other people can't live the life that she lives, is because she can live in the moment, like now, and only now. Like, there's nothing before or after.
And I feel like that's how it should be, because even for me, like, I have my goals, but I tell people, like, the journey is so beautiful. Like, each day, people are so focused on tomorrow or when I get there or when I start making this, like, I'll start enjoying life. But it's, start enjoying life now. Like, even people tell me they want to travel the world. And I'm like, where do you live? Oh, I live in Orange County. Have you been here? Have you been here? Like, no. I'm like, dude, that's in your backyard. Because you're not living today. You're not seeing what's beautiful next to you, you know? So I agree 100%. And that's why this, like, what we're doing now, like, I'm enjoying this. I feel like people need to enjoy today, you know, because today offers so much.
Yeah, so many people get caught up, I think, and, you know, we're all going to die one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all know that. But so many people get caught up in trying to figure that shit out all the time.
Yeah.
That it's like they spend more time trying to figure this shit out than they do actually doing anything.
Yeah.
And for her, the thing that's kind of the thing that she's done for me is I'm a super stressed person. I'm always stressed. I'm always serious. Like, that's when people always think I'm so serious. She's probably the only person in my life that I've ever encountered that's been able to get me to step back and actually enjoy life a little bit. And, you know, it's because that's how she is constantly. Like, she affects anybody that's around her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know what I mean? And that's one thing that people always notice, is that she just brings life wherever she goes. And it's interesting that somebody who's so close to death is that person that brings life everywhere.
I like that. Should be a quote.
Should make shirts.
You're right. That's awesome. No, that's great. Like I said, I'm glad that we can showcase all this, you know, I always tell people it doesn't matter whether we influence 1,000 or influence one, as long as we're influencing that one. Right. You know, that's all that matters. So yeah.
If you guys have questions or want to reach out, or even like, let's say you're somebody who's going through something, and part of the reason that we're doing this is to expose so many of the beautiful people that we have the ability to be around on a daily basis to everybody that's out there. So let's say, for example, if you're somebody that associates with Charlene, or you associate with that story, you know somebody that can benefit from it, beyond sharing it, feel free to reach out. Feel free, I mean, you can go on our Instagram, or Instagram information will be on here, YouTube, whatever, reach out to us, because that's what we're doing, somebody to reach out to, somebody to relate to, somebody that can affect your life in some way. And that's really the goal of this whole thing, is to bring what we are so blessed to have around us on a daily basis to the masses, to bring it to everybody, and to really showcase that on as big of a, you know, large of a scale as we can. So, you know, share it, you know, share it with your friends, reach out to anybody, reach out to us, you know, that's what we're here for.
Just to bring value. I feel like there always, for in my life, I've heard a story that's changed my life completely off of just one person's story that influenced my whole life. So that's, I feel like that is the goal, is to just share a story that either you can relate to, or it's that one person that you needed in your life to just completely change it and make it go up, you know? So, yeah. So thanks for watching. We shall be back with another one.
Next week.
Every week, starting now.
Thank you for taking an interest in my story. And like Jay said, you know, if I could just share, be inspirational to just one person out there, then it makes me happy. And that's what I'm here for. I'm not shy with my story. We're very open about our lives, and it's because we want people to know, you know, there are other people like you out there, and if I can do it, you can.